It inspires us, sustains us, entertains us, makes us think. It's also the way some people make their living. And its funding is often the first thing on the chopping block when times are tough. Welcome to Arts Adapting. This is Free Range Radio on WNIJ. I'm Susan Stevens.
The world can tell whatever story it wants about Rockford. I don't really care. What's most important is that we craft our own story. We believe in ourselves.
That's Rockford Mayor Larry Morrissey.
And it's going to be our arts and our arts community members who help to tell that story, who help us to envision a place different from where we are today.
Okay, challenge taken. Yes, Rockford has problems. Yes, Rockford has gotten a lot of bad press, some of it richly deserved, an awful lot of it not. But that's another show. It's just not as simple as a top 10 or bottom 10 list would have you believe. It's insulting to think the complexities of a city of 150,000 can be surveyed, then given a thumbs up or down. And the national thumbs down, well, admit it, those hurt. That's why we're looking at the arts in Rockford today. I think Doc Slefkoski says it well. He's co-owner of J.R. Kortman Center for Design and has been deeply involved in the visual arts in Rockford for decades.
You know, we have a love-hate relationship. Sometimes we hate what it is in some ways, but we love what it can be. And I think we all feel that the people who stay feel, honestly feel, that something great can happen here.
So the economy changes, tastes change, minds open and close, and the arts in Rockford ride those changes, persist, even thrive. Today, we delve into how the huge variety of artists and arts organizations in the city are adapting to the changing culture and environment. We've got theater, dance, music, visual art, poetry, and the people who are collaborating and innovating to keep the arts alive. Let's start with the institutions. That's not an entirely fair way to describe the arts groups with the longest histories in Rockford. If institutions make you think of an immovable concrete block resting on ancient laurels, well, then these groups just don't fit that picture. They've had to stay light on their feet, move, adapt, to last this long in an environment that's much different than it was when they were formed. Guy Stevens has more.
Joel Ross has been the artistic director for the choir Cantorai, the Singing Boys of Rockford, for 25 of its nearly 50 years of existence. He says an arts organization that wants to stick around needs to answer several important questions.
What is the mission of the arts organization? Is the mission of that arts organization still current? Should it change? Is it still serving the community? Is the community still supporting it?
Ross says in Cantorai's case, that mission has always been clear: to provide an outstanding musical education to boys who love to sing and at the same time provide opportunities to build their character. Ross says he doesn't think that kind of a mission will ever go out of style and attributes much of Cantorai's success to its appeal. But Ross says that doesn't mean that it isn't a challenge to recruit and retain members.
Boys, and for that matter, children in general and families in general, are far more committed to many other things than they ever were, and they have to start carving out what's important in their life. They need to make priorities, and it's becoming more difficult than ever to do that.
Ross says part of the answer to keeping up membership and growing audiences has been to get the word out about Cantorai in every way possible. Advertising, holding open houses, going into the schools, putting up booths at area events, collaborations with other organizations, and using social media to connect with the larger community. Julie Thomas is the executive director of the Rockford Symphony Orchestra. She says the costs of maintaining a professional orchestra that plays in a large venue like the Coronado Performing Arts Center are considerable. That means filling the hall on a regular basis is important. But Thomas says in the 10 years or so she's been with the organization, the audience has grown significantly smaller and older, and she's not sure of the answer.
I think we're still in the process of trying to figure out how we do need to adapt to get more people coming.
Thomas says the RSO has been using all the tools at its disposal: traditional advertising, social media, community presentations, and special events. But Thomas says growth has still been elusive, and it may be time to look at more fundamental changes.
We have had a very traditional format of 6 classics concerts, 3 pops concerts, a nutcracker for many seasons now. And I think some questions that we need to ask are, is that the right format for us? We may find out that the answer is yes, but I think we really need to do some soul searching to figure out, is that really a good fit?
In the meantime, Thomas says, the RSO will try to get people into the Coronado every way it can. But she says the organization needs help from those who value it.
Our charge really goes out to those who are currently coming to invite their friends, to invite their family, to help others feel comfortable coming and trying out what I believe they'll find is a really rewarding experience.
Founded in 1884 as Mendelssohn Club, the Mendelssohn Performing Arts Center is the oldest arts organization of its type, not just in Rockford, but in the nation, and arguably has gone through the most changes from its inception as a group of local women playing music for each other's enjoyment. Over the years, the club opened its doors to men, constructed its own building, began music programs for youth, and a concert series. Members also started the Mendelssohn Chamber Orchestra and Mendelssohn Chorale. Beverly Broyles is Mendelssohn's executive director. She says in recent years, in order to survive, the organization has looked to expand its scope even further to grow its audience, even as it's kept its core commitment to classical music.
We have had to make changes that reflect the changes of our world, of our nation, and of our community.
Broyles says that meant adding a professional staff, and more recently, even bigger changes, such as the addition of Charlotte's Web for the Performing Arts into the organization.
With their inclusion into our organization, we were able to legitimately expand our performance opportunities and educational opportunities to include world music, jazz, folk, a lot of different ethnic and cultural diversity.
The center has also acquired several buildings, including the Emerson House and the former Presbyterian Church next door. That's given Mendelssohn venues for additional concerts, casual performances, and in 2013, arts camps all across a broad range. Broyle says other ideas are being looked at, such as establishing something like the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago that would offer regular instruction in a diversity of styles and types of music. Broyle says another important change for Mendelssohn and other Rockford arts organizations in recent years was that they began collaborating in earnest on various projects as a matter of survival during the economic downturn. Broyle says in the past, arts groups often seemed to shy away from working together, perhaps afraid that someone might poach their donor lists. But Broyle says everyone now realizes that collaboration is a good thing.
It was like a light bulb going off that we could do more, we could do better, and we could serve our community well by working together and supporting one another.
Broyle says the goal of all of this is to reach the broadest possible audience and become part of the fabric of the entire community. Broyles and the others agree that it's easier said than done, but Joel Ross says you have to keep a positive attitude.
There's no one magic bullet. It's putting your eggs in a lot of baskets so that you'll have some success. Not everything is a home run.
Ross says it's incredibly hard work, and you can never let up. But for Ross, Thomas, and Broyles, it's well worth it. For them and the community. I'm Guy Stevens.
Singing Boys of Rockford, isn't there? You're listening to Arts Adapting on 89.5 WNIJ. I'm Susan Stevens. One of Rockford's adaptable arts institutions is celebrating its centennial, the Rockford Art Museum. And its roots go back even further, to 1887 as the Rockford Sketch Club. They were industrialists, teachers, students, clergy, and of course artists, who wanted to put on art shows for the community. They rented spaces around the city and brought in artists and artwork from all around the country. Eventually, they started their own art collection, and 100 years later, it's pretty big. It now has a permanent home called the Rockford Art Museum. It's comfortably situated in the Riverfront Museum Park, which many of the city's slightly older timers will remember as the old Sears store along the river on North Main. The museum's three galleries and 1,700-piece collection would undoubtedly impress its founders. In 1913, the Rockford Art Association put on its first show. Sarah Bursley McNamara is Community Relations Director for the museum now and spent much of this year researching its history for a book she co-authored. She says that first showing of American artists was to attract members to the fledgling arts organization.
The whole point was that they wanted a permanent collection for Rockford, that they wanted to be able to have a gallery space of their own for the betterment of their community.
That first exhibition had another goal, according to museum curator Carrie Johnson Breitbach.
It was really cool because it was a big community effort for the first show that we wanted to start a permanent collection, so they had actually the people that were coming to the show from our community vote on which piece they wanted to be the first piece for our permanent collection.
The winner? Beechwoods by John Elwood Bundy of Indiana, the first piece in the Rockford Art Museum's collection. Over the next 100 years, more than 1,700 other paintings, sculptures, and drawings joined Beechwoods.
This dirt road is actually Route 2.
George Robertson's View Near Byron, Rock River, Illinois, will look awfully familiar to anyone who's ever driven along the winding river highway south of Rockford. The Scottish immigrant influenced a lot of fellow Rockford artists in his day.
I think that it shows real commitment to his adopted hometown.
From 19th century landscapes to American outsider art to some pretty cutting-edge stuff from local artists today.
Every single one screams Rockford to me, with Jim Jeline pieces, Betsy Youngquist pieces, Roland Paska, Andy Langusis, Robert McCauley, Philip Dedrick, Maggie Tiedemann. Yep, Rockford is everywhere.
Breitbach whittled the collection down to 200 for this exhibition, choosing artwork that best represented the entire inventory and reflected the museum's 100-year-old mission. That's to educate, exhibit, and maintain an impressive collection for the community. Breitbach says it was easier than it sounds because she and McNamara had started working on their book about the museum before she had to start thinking about what to hang on the walls.
Sarah and I were really holed up in my office from January till about May. With the door closed, it was, you know, we went through St. Patrick's Day, so we were eating corned beef sandwiches from Beefroot every day and looking at each other and finishing each other's sentences and kind of going crazy.
Breitbach says it was a dream come true for a couple of art history nerds.
It was just really fun for Sarah and I to go through these letters and see these artists that are, I mean, they're well known everywhere.
They went through stacks of charming correspondence between artist Walter Ufer and the museum's executive director at the time. They got to know Rudolf Ingerle's beautiful handwriting, and they were able to follow the long-running drama laid out in letters between one patron and New York gallery director about whether the piece she received was the same one she had purchased. Some of the museum's historic documents have made it into the exhibit as well.
1915, 1913. So this is our first exhibition. Here's another one. They have the original membership list. So, and here's one from 1896, 1889, so when it was the Sketch Club. This was an invitation that they did in 1896 that was hand-drawn. And that's what we use now for our show card for this exhibition.
They also learned that some of the Rockford Art Museum's traditions go way back, including being open 7 days a week, donation day on Tuesdays, and free admission on the Saturday after an exhibit opens. McNamara says even though the museum gets some corporate, federal, state, and Rockford Park District support, it's absolutely dependent on private giving.
It's always been this group of men and women who were absolutely determined that by having a permanent collection and having a permanent space, that it really would make life better in Rockford for everyone.
The exhibit, Through the Ages, 100 Years of Rockford Art Museum, ends its unprecedented five-month run January 26th. McNamara and Breitbach's Rockford Art Museum Centennial Book is available through the museum and its website. I'm Susan Stevens. It's Free Range Radio on WNIJ, and today we're talking art. And sure, talking about art is like dancing about news or some such nonsense. Discussing art the arts is fun, really. Carrie Johnson Breitbach, Sarah Bursley McNamara, and I stood semi-reverently in front of one of the Rockford Art Museum's iconic paintings, Portrait of a Woman, Munich, by Elbridge Ayer Burbank. He was a native of Harvard, Illinois, who's best known for his portraits of Native Americans. But this one's not his typical painting. This dark-haired woman is wearing a white silk gown, perfect bows topping her above-the-elbow white silk gloves, and sitting a little uncomfortably in a white chair.
I don't know if it's just her eyes that do it, but right. There's just something that draws you into this piece, and it's so light and kind of ethereal, and it's just really... I just love that piece because it's so different from his other ones that it really stands out.
And again, a local guy, big on the national scene.
Mm-hmm. I always felt she's judging, you know.
She's judging all of us. She's looking at us now wondering why we don't have our corsets and gloves on.
See, I see that and think, oh my gosh, I can either see the prim and proper and this is what I shall be doing, but I'm thinking that girl is going, man, this itches. Please hurry up.
You don't have to have a master's in art history to know what you like and appreciate what you don't like. There's something about stepping into a gallery that's intimidating sometimes, and that's why places like the Rockford Art Museum do everything they can to help people get comfortable. Go ahead. You don't have to whisper. Touching is still off limits, of course. What's important is that people are talking about art, that it has a real presence in their lives. Doc Slifkowski of J.R. Kortman Gallery says art is going through a resurgence in Rockford. Gallery visits are up, more are opening, people are talking, people are buying. He says the first time this happened on a citywide basis was in the 1970s, when Symbol came to town. Symbol, the massive red-orange sculpture by Alexander Lieberman. Suddenly, everyone had an opinion about art.
Up until Symbol was put there, this is when it was placed downtown, there was never really a grand discussion about art in Rockford. And this was the first time that I think people, the press, average citizens, community leaders, politicians, everybody was talking about this in some way or another. And that, to me, was kind of, a milestone in the community, kind of almost a maturing and, a cultural alertness that, came upon us that I thought was very important and, kind of changed, in a way, a lot about how we think about the arts in general.
Symbol's history says a lot about Rockford, and its future does, too. This summer, I took a walk along the Rock River Recreation Path to visit Symbol, as well as the growing outdoor sculpture trail it anchors. Every day, runners, joggers, dog walkers, bicyclists, and folks just out for a short stroll pass right by one of the region's most impressive collections of outdoor sculptures. 16 massive works of art inhabit a mile-long stretch of the recreation path tucked next to the Rock River, just north of Rockford's downtown. On Thursday mornings, the Rockford Park District offers its award-winning Arts in the Parks walking tour. It's free to anyone who shows up at the starting point, Nicholas Conservatory and Gardens. On this day, with temperatures pushing 100 degrees, the only person braving the weather is tour guide Jim McDowell. He wisely changes it from a walking tour to a golf cart ride.
This is called Sightseeing. Seward Johnson, a California artist, animotive kinetic. One of the most fascinating things about this piece is called suspended motion. The artist was a local man, Gene Horvath. And then beyond that is the flame, which I really love. All right, here's the symbol, the cornerstone.
Symbol, the four-story, bright orange, gravity-defying 30-ton balancing act. The iconic iron structure by famed sculptor, painter, and magazine editor Alexander Lieberman turns 35 this year. And it's been a rough 35 years for Symbol. It was designed for Rockford and built in Rockford for $117,216, to be exact. That money was raised by arts supporters who donated it to the city. But in 1978, at its original location, crowded into the extremely unpopular downtown mall, Symbol suffered from a bad case of wrong place, wrong time.
one more barrier between the East and the West Side.
Symbol was the patsy, becoming the symbol of a dead business district, the symbol of division, the symbol of waste. John McNamara was mayor of Rockford at that time. To him, Symbol's initial bad impression on the citizens can be squarely blamed on the mall area's blocked-off streets.
You cross the river from the east and you get to Wyman Street and, you got to stop. Don't go any farther, okay?
Eventually, McNamara and his city council decided to rip out one section of the mall, reopening the east-west roadway, leaving Symbol homeless. The massive work that Alexander Lieberman had seen as a symbol for renewal and hope was dismantled and left to rust in an empty lot by the river.
An alderman stood up at city council meeting and said, you know, we've got this thing so close to the river, maybe we could get someone from the city yards to come over here with a bulldozer and shove it into the river.
Doug Slefkoski was one of the Rockford residents spurred into action by the looming arts travesty.
What it would have said about us as a city that, you know, we commissioned this work of art, and also it was not taxpayers' money. It was all privately donated funds.
Symbol fans won out over the scrappers. Mayor John McNamara cast the tie-breaking vote, and City Council approved Symbol's move to its current spot along the busy bike path.
I love the Lieberman because it just stands out so much, and it's breathtaking from afar as you're driving up to it, or even when you get out and take the walk.
The location was perfect for Kevin Schwitters. He was born in Rockford around the same time as Symbol. He only remembers it in the park and as something big, bright, and fun.
I thought it was a water slide or some sort of a playground of some sort from a distance, and I'd always ask my mom if we could stop there.
Schwitters built a website about Symbol when he was pursuing his teaching degree, and he's surprised, first, that his school project is pretty popular in internet searches. Second, that so many people his age still have automatic negative reactions to Symbol.
They think it's silly. They think it's ugly. They think that it doesn't fit. And I found that interesting because I feel a lot of the cynicism and a lot of the attitude about Symbol kind of mirrors some of the feelings that people have about living in Rockford in general.
It's a great symbol for Rockford because it is kind of convoluted, it's misunderstood, people don't like it, some people love it. I mean, that's just the way Rockford is and the way we react to our own city.
Doug Slefkoski is co-owner of a gallery and shop in downtown Rockford, J.R. Cortman Center for Design. He also travels the world as a flight crew member for Delta Airlines. He says he often finds himself in the role of ambassador for his hometown, and has recently started carrying a little two-dimensional version of Symbol with him. To Slefkoski, it's an urban icon, Rockford's Eiffel Tower, a way to represent and promote the city to people in China, Germany, Italy, Japan, and even in Rockford. Symbol is becoming a social media star, too, posing in famous places all over the world.
If we treat it just as a sculpture, it's a nice thing. But if we treat it as the symbol of our city, it becomes a great thing. It becomes something that people then can sort of wrap their minds around and their cameras.
Okay, does anyone ever walk into the store and say, I need something with Symbol on it?
Yes. Yes, that does happen.
And it has to be fun. That orangey icon is on bookends, mugs, clocks, ornaments, T-shirts, and postcards.
This is our best-selling image, and what we did is we took a sock monkey and have it hanging from the end of Symbol. So we have these two Rockford icons together.
It's about tourism and community pride. John McNamara says the city doesn't spend enough time marketing a positive image.
You know, nothing can speak to this better to me than the river, the art, and free. Everybody's welcome. Everybody can come. No barriers. Cost, transportation, anything else, everybody can come.
Seattle's one of the many cities that capitalize on outdoor sculpture. In fact, many a Rockford resident visiting the Space Needle has been stopped cold by the sight of a big red symbol lookalike. Lieberman created his largest work there, Olympic Iliad, in 1984, the year Symbol moved to the rec path. And maybe that's what it takes, seeing that your city has a lot in common with the big, cool cities. English teacher Kevin Schwitters wants his students to understand that Symbol is one of the good and interesting things about Rockford.
Art has value, you know, whether it's in Rockford or Seattle or New York City or wherever.
You're listening to Arts Adapting on WNIJ. I'm Susan Stevens, and we're taking a look at the history and future of the arts in Rockford. Symbol isn't the only massive icon in the city. Have you ever seen the Ben Shostrom Starlight Theater at Rock Valley College? Now, that's an amazing bit of architecture. The theater's artistic director, Mike Webb, spoke with WNIJ's Victor Yaling about working with architect Jeannie Gang on its design.
It started out with, I just wanted a roof over the audience so I didn't have to cancel performance in the case of inclement weather. So I started out with just a simple pavilion roof, and then Jeannie came into the project and agreed to do it. She asked me if there was anything I had in the idea that I wasn't actually addressing, and I said, well, I'd really like it to open. And so that started us down this path to try to figure out a way to make a kinetic architectural structure that opens. Since that time, there was a lot of kinetic structures in development around the world, but, and there's there was a study that was done in England about kinetic architecture, and we're sort of the poster child to keep it simple, stupid, because it always works. So, and it's very simple, and it's very elegant, and it's very slick, and I'm very proud of it. And I guess the thing that makes me the most proud is when people have out-of-town guests in the community, they bring them out to the college to show them this piece of architecture. And that, to me, is just like building civic pride, which was the intention of it from the beginning.
Let's stay on the topic of theater. A little later in the hour, we'll hear from a brand new underground-type theater group. But first, homegrown theater in Rockford has changed significantly over the past few decades. Theaters have come and gone, and the people who create the stage works for local audiences have changed as well. Victor Yaling has that story.
Mike Webb is following the yellow brick road to the next production in his 29th season as artistic director of Rock Valley College Theaters. He'll open The Wizard of Oz in December as part of what he calls his impossible season. It started when he decided to stage Agatha Christie's very first play, Akhenaten, in his quest to present all the Mystery Queen's works. It calls for a huge cast in several different scenes, a real challenge for his tiny stage.
So I said, well, what other shows should we do in this impossible season? And we started out with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. The last time I did it, I had two camels and 170 on the cast. Well, I always said I would never do Wizard of Oz, but it's the 75th anniversary of the film. This is the only time that I think I would do it. We go a little bit harder with Fiddler on the Roof next. This play still has the same message and soul that it had from the beginning, and then Akhenaten.
Webb's marching orders from the college are to sell a lot of tickets, and he's pleased that all four shows in the season are basically sold out. Before this indoor season ends, Webb will begin work on the outdoor Starlight Theater season in the 1,000-plus-seat Bengt Shostrom Theater.
The outdoor choices are directed by the audience surveys that we do. We used to do a paper survey, and then we went to an online survey.
He also grabs at special opportunities that arise, such as getting Les Miserables for last summer. Webb is originally from Rockford. He rebuffed opportunities to work in New York after graduate school because he wanted to enliven theater in his own time. Likewise, after a Master of Fine Arts degree from NIU and some professional theater gigs in the Chicago area, Jennifer Thompson also returned to Rockford. She was associate producer of RVC Theaters before becoming admissions director. Now she feeds her theater appetite working with community groups. She's directed and performed with the Main Street Players of Boone County and the Peck Playhouse Theater.
Community theaters nowadays are on the outskirts of the Rockford area. Performing opportunities are still there, and I know a lot of the theaters are still looking for a lot of volunteers and need some help. Some of them are struggling more than others to survive and fill seats.
She says audiences for these groups, including civic theaters in Byron and Beloit, as well as occasional other groups, vary in their support.
It does seem like each one has a group of people who support them wholeheartedly. And of course, there are those regular theater goers in the Rockford area who support live theater no matter where it's at. And that's kind of awesome.
Richard Rather, artistic director of Artists Ensemble Theater based at Rockford University, understands that struggle for support. He was involved with New American Theater in its first season when professional theater was fighting for a foothold locally. Rockford born and raised, Rather went elsewhere to get a theater degree and acted and coached stage combat in various stock and regional theaters and in New York. He and his wife Margaret returned to Rockford to raise their children, and he eventually wound up at NAT again. He was artistic director for a few years, and left to help form Artists Ensemble Theater with a cadre of local actors, directors, and other theater artists.
Artists Ensemble Theater is rather interesting because we kind of created it from scratch.
Rather is the only full-time paid employee. He works with the participating artists to determine the plays they want to present, and then he takes the proposal to the nonprofit board to firm up the financial picture. Actors, designers, and support people are paid on a show-by-show basis. Artists Ensemble has a contract with the professional theater union, Actors Equity, requiring roughly 30% of the performers in any season be union members.
We have some really, truly terrific talent in Rockford. It gives me that home base of performers, of artists, designers, actors, and so forth that are right here. And then occasionally we do bring in guest performers from Milwaukee or from Chicago.
They also give Rockford University theater students an opportunity to work with the professional group and begin earning professional credentials. Although Artists Ensemble presents plays that may not be familiar to local audiences, Rather says the troupe aims for stories and characters to which the audience can relate. And he says the quality of their productions is noticed elsewhere.
So many people, they assume, well, that's just the local theater. We'll go and see a big professional theater in Chicago. Our production of Mauritius in 2011 was one of Chicago Stage Style's top 10 shows of the year, including everything in Chicago.
What do these theater people say to appeal to local audiences? RVC's Webb waxes philosophical.
It's almost like theater is kind of its own ministry. These people get together to do these productions that will improve the audience's lives in some capacity, but also change them fundamentally. And to help each other and to get through it together is a really important issue.
Thompson touts the personal benefits of involvement.
A lot of the life lessons I learned about how to be a professional, I learned from the theater. How to meet deadlines, how to follow directions, how to think on my feet. You learn that from theater, and you don't get those kind of life lessons in a lot of other avenues.
Rather offers a simple invitation.
Come and see a show. There are so many people in this area who've never seen a live play. They go to movies all the time, they watch TV all the time, but they've never been to see live theater. And I think that if people were to do that, they would discover something that was incredibly exciting.
I'm Victor Yaling, WNIJ News.
It's Free Range Radio on WNIJ. I'm Susan Stevens. We continue our Arts Adapting special on a slightly different beat. Dance, and WNIJ's Jenna Dooley interprets.
A large mirror covers one side of an open room. Its reflection shows tapping feet and focused faces. A small group of women gathers each week for a class on the basics of tap dancing. It's held in one of the Rockford Dance Company studios at the Riverfront Museum Park. Instructor Teresa Sinks says the class is open to all ages and abilities and is part of a focus on improving wellness in Rockford.
It's brought a lot of adults and a lot of senior adults into the program and sort of opened their eyes to what is offered here. It's not just the five-year-olds and the tutus. It can be people well into their adult lives.
Sinks is also a board member of the company, which is celebrating its 40th year in the city. There are major transitions ahead for the Rockford Dance Company. Both the executive director and artistic director announced they're both leaving within the coming months. Artistic director Matthew Keefe is stepping down after this season to focus on his family, which lives out of state. Keefe says he was attracted to Rockford because the city's size makes the arts accessible to aspiring dancers and audiences. Keefe says you'd like to see city leaders use the arts as a selling point for Rockford.
This is something I think that is really important that they need to be saying more. They need to be saying it louder about Rockford. Arts are a big deal here. Culture is a big deal here. And there's an economy around that. There's a lot of artists in this town. There's a lot of musicians in this town. And personally, I think that it's something they need to be saying more of. And they need to be talking more about what makes this community special from a cultural standpoint.
It is so unusual for a small regional dance company to last for 40 years. The average is between 5 and 8 years. So we have defied the possibilities and grown to become a cultural leader in the community. And we only have Rockford to thank for it.
That's Rockford Dance Company Executive Director Cindy Jo Lance. She says she's leaving the organization at a time when it's on solid financial footing. Keefe also feels confident the company is in a good place, but says there are plenty more opportunities to grab onto. He points to Austin, Texas, where a thriving music scene has helped create a cultural buzz that attracts new residents and companies. Rockford Mayor Larry Morrissey agrees that the arts should have top billing when it comes to forming a positive perception of the city.
The world can tell whatever story it wants about Rockford. I don't really care. What's most important is that we craft our own story. We believe in ourselves. And it's going to be our arts and our arts community members who help to tell that story, who help us to envision a place different from where we are today.
Still on the national stage, often Rockford's economic woes are highlighted rather than its achievements in the arts. But not always.
We are a fatally unique dance team from Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. And what's the age?
13 to 22, middle school, high school, and college.
Well, good luck.
That's Sharon Osbourne, one of the celebrity judges from season 6 of America's Got Talent. Prince Alonzo Russell formed the group Fatally Unique when he was 15 in the basement of his home. The dancers perform hip-hop dance to upbeat music.
I went around Auburn High School with a note paper. You didn't even have to be able to dance. You could just sign up and come on. To know that I went from the basement of my home to millions of people on national television, that is an unexplainable feeling. And I mean, that's what the point of Fatally Unique was. It was to take teens off the streets of Rockford, give them something positive to do. And it's gone further than I would have ever imagined.
Russell is also part of Rockford's training ground for young dancers. He's on an international singing tour now, but says he took advantage of everything the city's arts community had to offer.
I can honestly say that is why I have the passion that I have now, because it started when I was young. I was an angry child. I had like anger management and all types of issues, but it was the arts that saved me at the end of the day.
He remains close with members of the Rockford Area Arts Council.
I call them my arts mothers for a reason. Like when I'm crying, I'll call them. And they'll answer the phone at 11 o'clock at night for me. And so, I mean, it's that kind of community that supports me.
Elaine Breck is a former board member for the Arts Council. She says Russell's story is part of the reason Rockford is a great place to learn the arts.
We have a lot of older artists who are willing to mentor the young artists. So if you go to a larger community, I think it's easy to get lost.
Both the Rockford Dance Company and emerging groups like Fatally Unique find it's important to stay relevant in modern times. The two groups put on a show earlier this year at the Coronado Performing Arts Center, blending their very different styles. Matthew Keefe says his company also works with other modern dance groups like Evolve and Without Shoes to bring dance to a new audience.
You know, I love the world that we live in now. I love how fast it's changing. I think that using dance as a creative exploration allows people to connect, you know, with the roots of what existence and humanity is, and also know that being spontaneous is what dance is.
I'm Jenna Dooley, WNIJ News.
The city has plenty of longstanding arts organizations. But there are also plenty of individual artists trying to carve out a place for themselves. We sent WNIJ's Mike Moen to talk to a few of them.
When you walk into Ronnie Golan's State Street Art Gallery, there's a sense of both optimism and frustration in the air. And, of course, it's hard not to notice the many colors and shapes oozing from the paintings that line the walls. Some of them are from other local artists, and there are many done by Golan himself.
I do more realistic, I do abstracts. Depends what I feel like doing.
This is the fourth gallery Golan has opened in Rockford since he and his family moved here in the mid-1990s. He says he knows he's not going to make much money at this new location, but he keeps forging ahead anyway.
It's probably the hardest place in the United States to run an art gallery. And I see it as a mission of mine to educate people the importance of art to our community.
Golan says there are plenty of good artists in Rockford, but he feels not enough people in the community are in tune with what they are doing. That's something he hopes will change.
Then we're not asking for free money, but we're asking much more awareness. Come to openings. Be involved.
In an attempt to create more awareness, Golan recently teamed up with the Rockford Area Arts Council, which gave him a grant to host an art teacher's exhibit. Council President Ann O'Keefe says her organization tries to work with individual artists as much as possible, But to make greater strides in getting these artist grants, she says they need to attract more corporate support. And right now it's a challenge given how hard Rockford was hit by the recent recession.
The corporations are giving to the things, the necessities, food and shelter. We understand that's important. But then the arts fall to the bottom of the list.
O'Keefe says they are trying to build stronger relationships with the corporations by doing things that go beyond asking for money.
Can you lend us an executive? Can you lend us a marketing person? Can you help us with a public relations plan?
And O'Keefe says they're doing what other organizations have done to survive these difficult times, collaboration. That includes working with groups they never thought they would join forces with, like the Rockford Housing Authority. That partnership aims to find talent in the city's Ellis Heights neighborhood. And while the Arts Council tries to build up more financial support for individual artists, it's also trying to do more cross-promotion.
We can help them promote their openings. We can get people there. And I think that's been something that really energizes them.
O'Keefe says that's something the council has tried to do more of, especially since they can't always help these artists out with money. And they're trying harder to keep an eye on emerging talent, like spoken word artist Christopher Sims.
I'm not here to judge you or owe you words of encouragement. I hope these words serve as nourishment.
That was a sample of Sims' work. He is a nationally recognized poetry slam champion, has been named a hero by the audio sharing website SoundCloud. Sims has teamed up with the council for various projects. He has also spearheaded a number of open mics in the Rockford area. People like O'Keefe say embracing and supporting this type of work not only helps out the artists, but will help Rockford become a more attractive and stable community. I'm Mike Moen, WNIJ News.
What's an art show without a bit of performance? Christopher Sims kindly sent along his piece, I Am a Poet, produced by Nick Riggs.
P-O-E-T, 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 P-O-E-T. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. Engrave page after page with rhythmical rage. See, once I engage, the page becomes my stage. To wage wars with syllables, consonants and vowels. I howl in the thick of the night to conjure my poetical might. Each word written transforms into light. I am a poet, I dive deep in the infinite world of diction. To bring forth image and vision, I'm a scientist who's always in the lab performing experiments with vocab. I am a poet, I'm a prophet of verb, creating logic with words. I must write and recite, I can't resist the urge. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. Forget not, I'm hip-hop, like deep bass and drums. A poet is what I am, a son of the sun. Lyrically progressing with each line. Each phrase is a picture from a photographic mind. I'm Shakespeare, Poe, Neruda, and Giovanni. My poetry is math, physics, astronomy. A poetical professor teaching with jewels. Opening a plethora of schools, dropping jewels. Dropping jewels. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves. I am a poet, I turn words into slaves.
That was poet Christopher Sims. You're listening to Arts Adapting on WNIJ, and I'm Susan Stevens. Here's a question for you. Is there a Rockford aesthetic, especially in the visual arts? I asked a few of the experts, starting with Jennifer Langworthy, professor of art history at Rockford University.
You know, we've got some of our legendary locals that have been, you know, kind of the founding fathers and mothers of the art scene in Rockford. And in my mind, when I think about art in Rockford, I think of those folks. I think of Jim Jueen, who unfortunately passed last year. I think of Jim and John Deal, of their work with and manipulation of found objects and incredible craftsmanship is something that seems synonymous with Rockford art. Betsy Youngquist, and I talk about incredible craftsmanship and meticulous eye for detail in her beaded work. Like, I think there is that vein in Rockford, but then I think amongst the younger generation, the printmakers associated with the group Fatherless in town, as well as some of the folks associated with Rockford Art Deli, there's a different aesthetic there, maybe more urban, more street, more graffiti, pop-inspired.
We'll hear more about the printmakers of Fatherless in a few minutes. But first, over at the Rockford Art Museum, curator Carrie Johnson-Breitbach and communications director Sarah Bursley-McNamara weigh in on the question of art, Rockford style.
I think there is a Midwestern aesthetic. There's something about Midwestern artists that I can tell pretty quickly. I think it's something about the roots that they have here. I think Midwesterners certainly have a different value system than other parts of the country, for sure. There's something about our landscape, and there's something about family, there's something about friends, camaraderie, that's just very, I feel like Midwestern people are very loving people and very warm people. Not all of us, of course. It seems like a lot of the artwork that is being produced by Midwestern artists has a backstory, and it's something that is either from their childhood or something about what, it just shows a lot of life.
And I think that there's a lot of contrast with that as well, too. I mean, I agree with everything that Carrie said, but I think that it can be very raw and real at the same time. You know, they're standing on sturdy ground, but they're not afraid to shake it up and not afraid to push the edge. And
not afraid to put on canvas problems or, you know, issues or, you know, and really kind of face it. I don't know. Yeah. There's just something
honest.
Different about, yeah, very honest, yeah.
A tough way to make a living. Ask any musician, writer, sculptor, or actor. Following your passion often means spending more time than you'd like doing something else to pay the bills. Let's meet a few of the people creating their art just outside the mainstream. The Mushmen, a ska band in from Kalamazoo, plays the cramped basement at Disaster House, an underground concert venue and home to a number of people on Rockford's west side.
I'm Joe Disaster. I live at Disaster House. I'm currently the leaseholder, oddly enough. I do all of our booking and sound, make sure the place doesn't catch fire kind of stuff.
Disaster House might just be the only home in the city putting on a weekly show. Punk, post-punk, ska, folk. Joe Disaster stays this side of the zoning laws by not charging to see the bands. Contributions are voluntary and much needed. From cash to canned goods to extension cords, Joe books the bands much the same way people find out about the shows, word of mouth and through Facebook. He says when he was growing up, there was a place in downtown Rockford where you didn't have to be rich or 21 to see a great band. That's why he wants to keep that opportunity available.
We think that politics and art, you know, should be part of and kind of the voice of the political revolution, and it's always kind of been the voice of youth. You know,
Jesus Correa has played at Disaster House.
I'd play in bands. I do stand-up comedy here and there. I started off reading poetry in front of people.
Correa's also a visual artist. He has a knitted piece in the current show, Symbol, Art Inspired by Art, at Courtman Gallery in downtown Rockford. That one has already sold, but it doesn't mean that he gets to quit the day job as a roofer.
I have hope. I guess I just keep working at it, along with anything I do is continuously do it. I guess I don't think about the money, but it comes to me more and more because I've put myself out there for long enough that I'm confident about anything I do kind of pays off now, I think.
Correa says he'd like to see the city invest more in its artists, cut some red tape, convert some empty buildings into studio space. Support your local artists and see what you attract.
It's a sense of making a joy where there was once no joy, and people are attracted to that, and they come, you know, to want to be around that.
Space, time, money. Those are the needs to make art.
Jennifer Langworthy teaches art at Rockford University. She's a Rockford native, too, and has been a part of the art scene since she was a teenager. She'd like to see the city do more to help its artists. She says a lot of people have great ideas and skills, but the realities of life keep them grounded.
There's not a lot of disposable income around, you know, for people to sponsor the arts or to buy art, but there's a lot of creative energy here.
Langworthy says she'd like to see the city sponsor a stipend or scholarship for artists, almost a real-world sabbatical. That would help them spend more time creating. She says that's one way to keep talented young people in Rockford. She says her students aren't buying into the negative national reports about Rockford. They're turning to successful young artists for inspiration, such as Jared Hennis, co-owner of Rockford Art Deli. He's a printmaker and part of the artists' collective, Fatherless. Rockford Art Deli is a print shop, a t-shirt boutique, a gallery, and a performance space. The print shop pays the bills right now.
I know definitely we can move anywhere, and we can do exactly what we're doing and probably double or triple our business. We like the history behind Rockford. We like the people in Rockford. The downtown's such a clean slate to get started and to make it something really awesome. So I think it's more like we want to be a part of it and make it happen versus just giving up and being like, see ya, we can, you know, it's easier somewhere else.
Hennis says the biggest challenge for Rockford artists is selling.
There's a price point that sells in Rockford, and it's not a very high one. So it's, you know, educating, teaching, you know, saying this is why this costs so much. You know, I put 200 hours of fine, you know, hand-drawn detail in here. That's why this piece is $600, which if you actually calculate that out by hours, it's still pennies. You know, it's like sweatshop wages.
Doc Slefkoski is co-owner of J.R. Cortman Center for Design and Gallery. He's the gallerist, the one who chooses who and what goes up on the walls. And he says he's seeing a resurgence in art in Rockford like he hasn't seen for 30 years. His advice to up-and-coming artists?
Get out there and make your work affordable and get it placed, you know, get it placed in people's collections. You know, you're marketing yourself by doing that.
Slefkoski says young artists also need to understand it's important to support their local galleries, too. The more there are, the more successful they are, the better it is for the artists. About halfway between J.R. Cortman and Disaster House is an inconspicuous old brick storefront. Follow the hand-drawn audition sign up the stairs.
Very good. All right, let's do it one more time.
Mike Workle is running a few actors through the paces this afternoon. They want a part in the West Side Showroom's next first production. The theater group is about a week old and wants to put on the kind of shows Rockford isn't used to seeing. Vampire Lesbians of Sodom and Sleeping Beauty, or Coma, are scheduled to hit the stage December 19th.
Most of the people who are trained to be artists in this town end up leaving because there isn't an outlet, you know, here like there is in Chicago or New York.
Workle and the group's producer, Liz Newman, recognize a niche that needs filling in Rockford's art community. Independent, local theater, taking on new works. Newman asks for the community's help.
If you see a flyer, if you see something on Facebook, or if you see, you know, if you hear a story, show up. Don't go, oh, I bet that's neat. We have to have people in the door. You know, we have to have people in the seats in order to continue. And that doesn't just apply to us. I think that applies to every group in town that's trying to do something. You know, that's the best thing you can do, show up.
Whether it's theater, music, or visual art, there's a core group of talented people who have decided to invest themselves in their hometown. Doc Slefkoski says they share a vision.
You know, we have a love-hate relationship. Sometimes we hate what it is in some ways, but we love what it can be. And I think we all feel that we can contribute to that and make something happen. And I think we all want to see it. We all want to see something great happen here. And I think the people who stay feel, honestly feel, that something great can happen here.
We're wrapping up Arts Adapting, a look at the state of the arts in Rockford on WNIJ. I'm Susan Stevens. And this is Pow Pow by Jesus Correa's band Los Osos Voladores. He also fronts another band with a very different sound, King of the Demons. Coming up, more from Jared Hennis about Fatherless and why he's hopeful about Rockford's art scene.
I tried rain dancing and nicely asking, but still, it's just as dry as a bone in a drought. Yes, sir, a drought. I have no doubt they call it that if I were not here all alone.
Fatherless, I'm a part of Fatherless. It's myself and four other people.
Javier Jimenez, Greg Lang, Dave Menard, and Corey Hagberg. And this is Jared Hennis.
All local Rockford artists. So we've been working together about 2 years, and we actually collaborate on all the artwork. So hence the name Fatherless. No one claims one of the pieces is their own, so none of them really have a father. so it's a pretty awesome mix. It's kind of a visual mixtape jam band. Kind of deal, and we've been getting really successful. You know, we've showed in London in April. We're working on showing there again, possibly New York, Miami. So we're picking up some steam, and I mean, it's, you know, small, you know, all Rockford-based people that came together and are like, hey, we can work together. So it's been fun. I mean, and we're growing, we're getting there. You know, and I say it is like a band. You know, you have your drama of a band, you have your trying to all meet together to practice as a band, different opinions, but it's, you know, we're all adults, we all figure it out, and it, you know, it all ends up working awesome. So it's, you know, we all have, when we're doing artwork, we all pick out the imagery before a show, and some of it makes it, some of it doesn't, some of it gets printed, some of it doesn't. It's, you know, it's kind of, when we start printing, the flow gets a little more enhanced, and, you know, each person's interpretation of it, we all kind of merge together and makes art.
Art is adapting in Rockford, always has, and will always have to, just like any place. Hennis, like a number of other people we talked to for the show, has a lot of hope for the future of the arts in Rockford because he sees an increasingly strong present. He says younger artists today are easier to work with because they buy into one of the buzzwords of the day, collaboration.
Working together a little bit more, kind of seeing that light at the end of the tunnel and all kind of rallying up and working towards that versus everyone being on their own little island. And, you know, it's, everyone has their own art. If you don't like certain styles of art, it's fine. It's art. But working together to kind of, you know, make a bigger, there's, you know, just having the numbers, having like a small little army and all working towards that greater good.
Thanks for joining us today for Arts Adapting on 89.5 WNIJ. We may not have solved all or any of the problems facing artists and arts organizations in Rockford, but we hope we've made you think about what you have in your own community. And if anyone feels inspired to see a show, buy a painting, drop an extra few bucks in the donation box, or change the subject at the dinner table from sports and weather to theater and dance, all the better. Thanks to everyone who contributed to this free-range radio special on 89.5 WNIJ DeKalb Rockford, WNIQ Sterling, WNIW LaSalle, and WNIE Freeport, also streaming at WNIJ.org. Special thanks to the WNIJ News Department and Jesus Correa, the Rockford Symphony Orchestra, Cantarai, and the Rockford Chamber Player String Quartet for some of the music you heard throughout the show. Some of those pieces can be found on a 1998 album called Acoustics of Rockford, which, interestingly, has a pastel-colored drawing of Lieberman's symbol on its cover. I'm Susan Stevens, and this is WNIJ.